Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Deborah had to have surgery.
I had hip surgery in November of 2024.
Her UnitedHealthcare nurse, Crystal, checked on her.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell that she was struggling.
Deborah needed help.
My infection markers were through the roof.
And Crystal knew what to do.
I called the hospital and said she's coming in.
And got Deborah the help she needed.
Crystal and UnitedHealthcare saved my life.
Hear more stories like Deborah's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily.
And welcome in, everybody. It is a Thursday here on Sports Daily. Glad to be with you. Jacob Albrocht alongside TJ Cleland. We are rocking and rolling into a football weekend beginning tonight with some Thursday night football. We'll preview that a little bit. Is there even going to be a game worth watching tonight? We'll discuss. But the bigger news today is it's a college basketball Thursday. Both K-State and Wichita State, after long delays, will play their midweek games here this evening on the men's side. So we're looking forward to that quite a bit here today. So we'll talk about it as well. Tim Fitzgerald, our K-State insider, is going to join in the next hour. Our betting insider, PJ Glasser, had a last-minute push. So he will not be on with us today. No problem. We can still talk some betting if you'd like. You can get in touch with us 869-1240 on the KFH hotline. You can leave us video comments, Facebook, YouTube, and X. Thanks for watching us as well on 12 News Connected. Thanks for listening on the Odyssey app, where you can also leave us voice messages. It's all available for you. It's all what's on tap, brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company. Now with a Yumkin Pumpkin Ale, WBC's most popular seasonal beer. It's made with actual pumpkin, served with a spiced rim. Yumkin Pumpkin, now available at Wichita Brewing Company. Pizza and beer made here. TJ, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Just a heads up to all the viewers here. The power in the house just went out right before the show started. So we got a phone hotspot powering Sports Daily this morning from the Cleland household, hoping to not have it happen again. But if it goes dark, you know what?
Well, that's an interesting development, because it's certainly not from a storm. The weather is fantastic. Maybe it's from the Northern Lights, which have been
electromagnetic
storm. Crazy stuff up there. I'm sure everybody's seen it now. Some of the images and the pictures of those Northern Lights have looked incredible. That's just out there. It's pretty wild. Thanks, Atmosphere. We appreciate it. Appreciate all the hard work you do for us. It's going to be a great day. I'm going to get out and play a little golf. Shout out Crestview Country Club. I'm going to play 18 on one side. Well, I'm going to try to do this. I'm going to play 18 on one side today and then 18 again tomorrow on the other one, TJ. It's been a minute.
Let's put a line out for it. What do you think? You can break 185?
Collectively, So 92-93. That's
a good line.
That's a pretty good line. That'd be on the better end, I would say. But two good rounds for me. We'll see.
I want to go out and do it with you and play 36 and see if I can break like 180 or something of that nature.
Whew. Break 90 twice for me. I've done it once ever. Most recently,
maybe break 200 is a better idea.
That's more of a fair like line. But you know, as I was playing the most this summer, there weren't very many times I was over 100. But you know, that's with a breakfast ball, and that's with, you know, a few here and there that you're trying to work on your game. So, that'd probably be a pretty fair line. It is going to be fun. We'll see if my stamina can hold up. Shout out to Crestview Country Club. If you'd like to join, if you'd like to take advantage of 36 holes available to you and all the other perks, you can give them a call. Tell them we sent you here at Sports Daily. We appreciate their support of this program. It's an interesting Thursday, because there is an NFL game, TJ, but I don't think that's what we're excited about. I think we're excited about college basketball.
Yeah, I am.
It feels early. It feels early. It helps that it's Patriots-Jets, but, you know, it feels early. And the Jets can hang around. I don't know what their defense is ultimately going to look like after all the trades, but they've got Breece Hall. They've got Garrett Wilson, who's not going to play, I guess, but they have Justin Fields, who's squirrely. If he's feeling it. So we'll see if they can hang, and we'll get a good, you know, for a lot of people, this is probably the first chance to just sit with nothing else around watching Drake May and the season he's having. So looking forward to that a little bit. It's a two screen night for sure. I'm just excited. I can watch the football game, stupid YouTube TV and ESPN. We had baseball awards going out slowly but surely. Paul Skeens, Tarek Skubal, the Cy Young winners, not a lot of surprises there. You know, the Royals' best shot at anything was probably Noah Cameron as Rookie of the Year, and he wasn't even in the top three. So for the Royals, I will see. Bobby Witt Jr., when MVP voting comes, I wonder where he'll finish in that. Top 10, almost certainly. Top 5, maybe.
That's it. Yeah.
Maybe. We'll keep an eye on that. As something that is happening. It's kind of, we talked about it yesterday. We're getting into that part of the baseball season where some interesting things can happen. So we'll always have our ear to the ground a little bit. We're just about to those winter meetings. Those winter meetings in baseball is where things really, really get going a little bit. But it is, it's college basketball for us tonight. Shockers, K-State. We will get you kind of previewed on both of these games, because the good news is these are games against teams that are respectable for sure. Both teams, in fact, in both matchups are kind of in the same, you know, bubble area as Wichita State and K-State respectively. And we'll go through that with some of the KenPom and let you know what we're talking about. But Cal and Loyola should be a major step up in what we've seen early in the season for both of these teams.
Yeah, I'm excited for tonight. We'll save that for the next segment, because we're going to break that down further. I got to ask you if you saw this. Scott Boras, the mega agent, did you see his comments yesterday at the winter, whatever, I don't even know where this was. Did you see what he said yesterday?
I didn't.
This one, he did a couple of them. This one is about Pete Alonso. I'll read you this quote. "I think Pete, as at this point in his career, he's about winning, no doubt. Had that question a lot. There's no doubt that Pete's pursuers are primed to pay the power piper. Pete picked a perfect period to play preeminently at a really primary position. A playoff parched plethora will pounce to participate in the polar plunge."
That's cute. Pete Alonso, pretty good chance. My Texas Rangers are going to make a run at Pete Alonso, I think. The Royals are going to do something. It's not going to be that. The Royals are going to make a trade. Good for Scott Boras for his wild alliterations. When you've got that kind of money, I guess you can do whatever you want. And these super agents like that, how do you even give your clients the right amount of attention when you represent like all of them?
That was something that people were talking about, that like, if there was a single person to blame for the salary cap discussion that's happening, it's probably Scott Boras.
Yeah, but the salary cap is not a – I mean, I don't know if he represents Shohei.
and the Dodgers pushing the money down the road. That needs to stop. That's the one thing. But I've talked about it a million times. Like, nobody involved in a negotiation wants a salary cap. Nobody, except the commissioner, but he doesn't have any skin in the game. The owners don't want it. The players don't want it. Nobody wants it. It's never going to get put in. It has to be voted on. It has to be agreed to and bargained out. Like, I don't understand, like, what teeth Rob Manfred thinks he has in this. Like, what owner wants a salary cap in baseball? Because the small market, the non-spenders don't want to have to spend a certain amount of money and don't want that pressure to do it. And the big spenders, they don't want to be hamstrung by what they can and can't spend. I think the system's pretty good.
It's good for the fringe playoff teams that don't have a lot of money, like the Royals.
I think it's fine for the Royals. I think the Royals have navigated it just fine. They've got their star player locked up. Their Hall of Famer has been a Royal his entire career. I think they do okay. They haven't spent enough historically, but this new ownership group is spending enough. We can discuss that. We've also got Chiefs practice report, catching all the headlines that we've been discussing, and we get a little bit yesterday that we can look into as well in Andy Reid's comments. It's Sports Daily. Don't go away.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Heather is a nurse practitioner from United Healthcare.
We meet patients wherever they live.
During a house call, she found Jack had an issue.
Jack's blood pressure was dangerously high.
It was 217 over 110.
So they got Jack to the hospital and got him the help he needed.
He had had a stent placed in his heart, preventing a massive heart attack.
If it wasn't for my guardian angel, I wouldn't be here.
Hear more stories like Jack's at unitedhealthcare.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan. Area limitation and exclusions apply.
Other sports books just don't hit right. But FanCash makes switching to Fanatics easy. Only Fanatics gives you up to 10% FanCash back on all bets, win or lose, which you can use to unlock the world of Fanatics. From more bets and game tickets to signed memorabilia and one-of-a-kind experiences only Fanatics can offer. Switch to Fanatics Sportsbook and let the FanCash roll in. Winning hits different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. MD, visit mdgamblinghelp.org. Offer not available in all states. Terms apply. See Fanatics Sportsbook app.
The commercials are over.
Yo, I haven't got all day.
869-1240.
Time to get busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Glad to be here with you, Jacob Albrocht and TJ Cleland. Well, you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. This Sunday, stream the Kansas City Chiefs at the Denver Broncos live at 3:25. Then stay for the premiere of the new season of the hit original series, Landman. It's all on Paramount Plus. You can visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. You will see Chiefs Broncos on KWCH this weekend. TJ, you watch Landman? You a Landman guy?
I haven't yet, but you've been talking about it.
It's very good. It's very good. I'm excited for the new season. Billy Bob is getting it done and being pretty awesome. It'll be fascinating to see where they take that show. It became quite the sensation as it came out, and I agree, critically acclaimed, and I'm with the critics on this one. I think it's very entertaining. Chiefs yesterday, TJ, it's our first time to see them practicing since the bye week. So since, what would that be, November 2nd, they get out there. And of course, all eyes on Josh Simmons. And we do get him, all the reporters out there. He's warming up, no restrictions. Everything looks fine. The Chiefs list him as a full participant in practice. And then we get to asking Andy Reid about it. And he just will not play his hand. Won't do it. He's not going to commit to anything. Look, I get it. I respect the fact that he's like, we got to see. And, you know, he was asked and he said, we got to see him. I haven't even seen him. Let's get him out to practice. And then eventually he kind of snuck in, I'm sure he'll be fine. And then, but we got, you know, like, he's going to be fine. He's going to start. I would put it at a 75% chance that Josh Simmons starts and plays all the snaps on Sunday.
I think it's going to be like 90%. I think that it's going to happen. I think that it's a little bit of Andy not wanting to commit one way or another just in case. And then I think it's more so Andy like committing to the bit and still not wanting to play his hand.
You think it's the old school stuff? I don't know.
I don't think it's quite gamesmanship. I bet it's probably like 50% of him just like, I'm pretty sure, but I'm not sure. And I think it's Andy Reid just trying to, you know, just be funny in a press conference.
It's perfectly okay for him to say, I need to see him practice first, because I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, the order of things changes from day to day, but I think on the Wednesday availability, do they talk before or after practice? After.
No. Before
on Wednesdays, I think.
Yeah, you're right.
I think when he was asked, he legitimately hadn't seen him practice yet.
Yeah, you're right.
But we're also pretending like in the bye week, they just absolutely have no idea what's going on with Josh Simmons and what kind of shape he's in, which of course isn't true. That's what they're, you know, by the letter of the law in the NFL, they're not supposed to have, you know, whatever, and it's a true bye week. Josh Simmons chose to come back at the beginning of the bye week, which means he probably needed to get some work in, which I'm sure he did. And for Andy Reid to not know how that went is not very believable to me. So they know that he's at minimum healthy. Now it's, does he look like he's always looked? And they would have found out at practice, I would imagine, pretty quickly. Rick says he doesn't think he's starting. Rick's going to die on that horse, die on that hill, die on a horse, die on that hill. But that's okay. What I don't think we'll see, and this is to the not starting thing, what I don't think we'll see is some sort of, you know, oh, he doesn't play the first snap and then he's in on the second snap. And it's like, see, you're not started. Like the old college basketball, like you come in after the first time. No, I don't think it's going to be any of that. If he's not starting, it means he's not ready to start. And that doesn't appear to be the case. He looked normal out there. He was a full participant in practice. He was never injured. So he gives them the best chance. Now, here's the one thing that you can look at maybe, and that's that Jalen Moore has played pretty well. But there is a lot riding on this game. And the last time we saw that offensive line out, they got their tails kicked
by a pass rush that's not as good as the pass rush that they're about to play. Jalen Moore, really, really glad he's on the team. Really glad he did that. He's going to be the right probably next year. But if Josh Simmons is out there and Josh Simmons gives you the best chance to block it up, you put Josh Simmons out there.
Yep, I agree. I mean, I think it's as simple as that. I think that the Broncos pass rush is the best in the NFL. Yesterday, as I was building stuff out for TV, I was like, I know that we've been saying it's the best in the NFL, and I know that like the national heads have been talking about the best pass rush in the NFL. And I was like, what stats back that? Like, I got to go find his stats. It's like, oh, they've got 13 more sacks than any other team in the freaking league. Yeah, they're the best. Yeah.
And they do it like in waves. It's not like the teams with an elite pass rusher that just piles it, like Myles Garrett, right? Who's just so disruptive on his own. It's a bunch of them. And they just are good at putting pressure on the quarterback. And it's that it's probably their greatest strength as a team. It's certainly a way that they've been able to climb back into games by just being so absolutely disruptive. So it's going to have to be something that the Chiefs have front and center. I don't know. I think Pacheco is probably going to miss this game. He was the only player mentioned by Reed, you know, as a player injury they're watching yesterday, which means that Juwan Taylor was not a player mentioned, which is good news, certainly, which means Trey Smith was not a player mentioned, which is good news. I think for the most part, the bye week helped them get healthy. What was Pacheco? Did Pacheco work at all yesterday?
No, he didn't practice at all.
Yeah.
Carl Loftus was the only limited.
He's probably not going to play Pacheco. Carl Loftus will play.
I didn't think Pacheco was going to play. I don't think Pacheco might play next week.
Well, it's a sprained knee, so we don't really know. It's not like a I think it's pretty permeable to how quickly guys come back from something like that. So it's going to be more Hunt. It's probably going to be more Clyde Edwards-Helaire and not Elijah Mitchell, I would imagine. And they're, you know, that's one way to try at least to neutralize the pass rush is to be able to run the ball effectively. I don't know if we're going to see that. We're probably going to see, you know, Kareem Hunt get about 12 to 15 carries at 3.5 yards a pop. And that's going to have to be what they do to try to keep Denver honest a little bit. But you do lose that explosive element to your run game, which that's the part to me that keeps a defense honest is the explosive play. And I just don't think that's going to happen in the run game. So they'll have to throw it a lot. It's going to be strength on strength. It's going to be the league's best pass rush against the league's best pass offense. And at times, an offensive line that's looked as good as any pass blocking offensive line in football, except the most recent time we saw them play. Yep. And that's what makes this a little bit tricky.
I know. I feel like I've become less bullish throughout the week. I think that like over the last, you know, since the Bills game, I guess I'll say, you know, I think that whenever we saw this one and what the Broncos were doing, it's like the Chiefs are going to kill the Broncos. And then it's like they lost to the Bills. And I still was kind of in the camp that like they're still going to kill the Broncos. And then as I've gone along this week, it's like everything that the Chiefs struggle with and what the Broncos are good at.
Yep.
And so there's a real world where they could lose this game now.
Oh, for sure.
I don't think that they're going to crush them like I think that they are.
The Chiefs, I think, if they win big, like the Chiefs defense is where their floor rises to me. I just don't think Denver's offense is that good. So the Chiefs defense, which has been good this year, needs to just step up and be good against an offense that is capable, certainly, of making mistakes. You know, has shown at times they can be more or less shut down by defenses that aren't nearly as good as the Chiefs. And then they just find a way late in a game. How about fourth quarter defense for the Chiefs? How about that? How about fourth quarter defense for the Chiefs being a key in this game? Because Denver has come back so many times on teams this year.
I agree.
So, you know, there are little things, but I don't think the obvious one is the wrong one. The absolute key to this game is the Chiefs offensive line versus Denver's defensive line.
It's the inverse of the conversation that we've had for the last month prior to the Bills game of the fact of that's what the Chiefs do really well is their offensive line is awesome. And Patrick Mahomes thrives whenever he has time to float around. And, you know, I keep saying that that's the best version of Pat Mahomes. And that's why he wasn't as good last year, because he didn't have time to float around and improvise. And so if the pass rush can, you know, mess that up and Pat needs to get it out within 3 seconds or he needs to run around a little more, then I think it's like, oh, that's not good. Like
I think the Chiefs' biggest strength isn't necessarily their offensive line. I think it's their pass game, but I think their offensive
that's
line.
That's because of the offensive line.
I think it can still function and be pretty good if the offensive line isn't like the best in football, like it looked for a couple weeks, but it still has to be good. And the you know, the strength has been built to this thing for 3 years now by adding Rashee Rice and then by adding Xavier Worthy and then by bringing in Hollywood Brown and then like all of these pieces that to getting Travis Kelce to play another year. Like all of these things finally coming together, you at least have to be respectable on the offensive line. They were not respectable a year ago. They were awful on the offensive line collectively. They have great players on the line, but the line collectively was terrible at times. This year, at times, it looks fantastic. I don't think it has to look that good all the time, but it has to be better than it was against Buffalo. And even in the Buffalo game, again, we act like the Chiefs didn't have a chance in that game. The Chiefs were throwing Hail Marys to tie the game. So
yeah, I agree. I think
with that disruption, they were still right there against that team.
Yeah, it's the fact that, you know, Patrick Mahomes' stat line will show you the story of the game. The fact that he threw for under 50%, and the reason being is that he didn't have time to do what he likes to do. And, that, right. You know, that's the issue.
And nobody, no quarterback ever, including the GOAT Tom Brady, could function with that kind of pressure. Yep. One of the things that Brady and the Patriots and their greatness over those years always did, where did they invest? Where did they never let there be a deficiency? And it was on the offensive line. They let more players walk out of there. All right, see you later. And the Chiefs have done a lot of that. Now, the Chiefs have had a few different kinds of stars, but there are parallels. Obviously, they commit to the quarterback, right? The Patriots always committed money to their tight ends. They would draft receivers high in the draft. Ultimately, they wouldn't keep them around usually. Chiefs have done that too. The Patriots weren't very good at that. They had more early round receiver misses. They had as many as anybody, but they were trying to do it that way. They let defensive players walk all the time. There are a lot of parallels in the way that the two dynasties have been built, and I've always thought that. But one thing they never let slip was their offensive line. They just never did it. And that's what the Chiefs are trying to do, too. That's why they paid Creed Humphrey. That's why they paid Trey Smith. That's why they paid Juwan Taylor. And that's why they've drafted first and second round offensive linemen forever now, because they are like they're telling you what they're going to do. And that's what they're going to do.
Yeah, it's the recipe. I think that, you know, that's what we've learned of and especially last week, of how valuable these picks are, because that's the recipe to keep building a roster. Because if you don't have those picks, you can't afford to go get anybody else because you're paying so many other people, unless you find ways to restructure over and over and over again, which they kind of have done too. But that, like the Trent McDuffies and all these guys, is back to that 2022 class. Like, that's the reason the Chiefs have been so good, is because they just have been able to hit in the draft. And that's the way the dynasties can stay alive, is by getting cheap rookies that are good.
Well, it's why they didn't trade for Breece Hall.
That's what I'm saying. That's how we figured. Yeah. It showed, yeah, I mean, it showed its teeth last week.
You know, the Patriots, who was they drafted. Oh, who was that running back they drafted? There were two running backs at Minnesota. Marion Barber was one of them. And this guy was the other one. And I think the Patriots took him maybe in the first round. They had Corey Dillon at the very early part of their dynasty, who was a Hall of Famer. Did he get into the Hall of Fame? He should. If he doesn't, I think he did. So they like to run the ball too, but that was never their priority in capital. It was all about the offensive line and tight ends and quarterback. That's where they spent the most resources. So we'll see. Denver. I want to sit here and say that because I'm not a believer in Denver either, that the Chiefs are going to beat them by 10 points. And I think that they are, by the way. I think the Chiefs will win this game by double digits. But that one thing is such an elephant in the room.
I know.
Man, it makes it tough. It makes it and the other part of that exists, I said Chiefs are going to beat Jacksonville by double digits, and they should have. but they still didn't do it. Like they played at times well enough in that game to do it, but they make mistakes. So anything happens, it's the NFL. It's going to be tough. It's on the road. I can't imagine Denver has been more up for a game emotionally and psychologically as they will be for this one in what, 5 years? When was the last time Denver played a game of this magnitude at home?
I mean, I'd say that the last time that this game was that big of a deal is whenever the Chiefs had the 16-game win streak over the Broncos, and they got up and beat them on that one. But I agree, this is a bigger magnitude of standings and all that nature.
Way bigger, because Denver right now feels like they're really good. So they're more. This is the biggest game Denver has played in at least 3 years.
Yeah, probably.
It's a big one, and that stuff matters too, right? They're going to bring it, and the Chiefs better match that energy. They better match that energy, and Andy Reid, you better play your best left tackle.
One of my stats that I found last night for the newscast is that the Chiefs are on a two-game losing streak at Empower Field against the Denver Broncos. Over the last 10 years, they're 17-2. This is the only two games that they've lost.
That's interesting. I'd throw that out the window. I think this Denver team is
one of those losses. Carson Wentz was starting, so
in the week 17 or week 18. Yeah. While I don't think that Denver is as good as their record, I do think Denver is good. Right. Yeah. I think Bo Nix is a backyard baller who can make plays. I think they've been able to run the ball pretty well. Now they'll be down J.K. Dobbins, who's been really effective, but I do like R.J. Harvey. I think they have three good pass catchers, probably four, if you include Evan Engram, the tight end. And I think their defense, even without Patrick Surtain, is one of the better units in football. With Patrick Surtain, it's top level. So I'm not saying I think Denver's a nothing burger. I just don't think they're quite as good as their record would indicate. And I think that the Chiefs are better than they are. So the Chiefs need to go win that game. And you'll hear it here on the Chiefs Radio Network. It's coming soon. Cannot wait for that one. That's probably my favorite game, probably my favorite Chiefs game of the year so far, just because the offensive line was so bad in the Buffalo game, it kind of unraveled on it. Jacob Albrock, TJ Cleland. We are getting you ready for college basketball. We are getting ready for a lot of things this time of year, including week 3 of the high school football playoffs. By the way, high school football coverage on Sports Daily is brought to you by Zintex Remodeling Group. Remodel your bathroom in as little as one day with Zintex Remodeling Group, ZINTEX.com. Are there any Thursday playoff games tonight, TJ?
I don't believe so. I think they're all Fridays from here on out.
Well, we'll get your full preview on that coming tomorrow here on Sports Daily. We'll make some football picks. We'll have fun on a Friday, as we always do. So stay in for that. All right. College hoops, TJ. We've been waiting patiently this week. Both games Thursday. The good news is it is a sports watching night. You got Thursday night football. You got 6:30 Shockers. You got 8 o'clock K-State. They don't really interfere with each other. So this should be a really nice way to get good looks at these teams. I'll tell you, when we look at the schedules being played, you've got the Shockers and K-State both playing a couple of games against teams like 250 plus in the KenPom, like not very good at all. And now tonight, all of a sudden, you get K-State taking on Cal. Cal is in the low 80s. I think K-State still in the low 80s as well.
No, K-State's in the mid 50s.
Okay, yeah, they moved up to 56, but still a significant jump in competition for K-State. And then you have Wichita State, who right now is in the low hundreds, taking on Loyola Chicago, which Loyola's maybe a little bit down this year, but they're still significantly better at a KenPom of 140 than the two teams Wichita State has played, which I think were like 250 and 3-something. So I love that slow ramp up, and it's, you know, it's just a luck of the draw kind of thing as much as anything, but I love that it's a little bit of a slow ramp up. And then because Boise for the Shockers, TJ, Boise is off to a great start. Boise right now is sitting, they're 44. So like we're talking,
it's so weird because Boise, I don't know if you remember this, Boise lost to a Division II team in a game, not an exhibition. It was a game.
Yeah.
But it doesn't count towards your, you know.
Right. And they.
So I don't know what to make of Boise.
Who else have they beaten? They had big expectations, and we could still be riding expectations for them. Utah Valley and UT Rio Grande Valley. And then they got beat by Hawaii Pacific. That's the game you're talking about. Let's see.
That's a good one. I think the Shockers will probably be favored in that game, despite
on the road. I bet they're not on the road. You know, they had that slip up against Hawaii Pacific, and then they beat Utah Valley by 24, and they won their next game by 20. So they've been fine. I don't know how good is Montana State. That's who they played next. Let's just take a look here.
They're pretty good. Montana State's always pretty good.
Montana's pretty good. Montana State's not. So that won't tell us much. But either way, it's going to be a nice. It will probably be the best team that they've played so far. Maybe Loyola tonight will be. You know, in a couple of weeks we look back on this. So I love it. I love the slow ramp up. I love the slow build. K-State, we know, is about to start getting peppered with really strong, high quality opponents. And Cal is a perfect one, and I'm glad they get it at home. I'm glad it's Day-Day Ames, who's probably going to play his butt off tonight. He was one. I don't know how you felt. I was sad to see him go when he went. I thought he was going to be a really good Wildcat. So that adds to it a little bit as well. But we get high profile games for these two teams, as high profile for them as we could expect this time of year. And it'll be significantly more telling, I think, than anything we've seen thus far.
Yeah, I just checked the line for the Shockers game. Have you seen it?
No. Is it out?
4.5 Shockers. Oh, so it's tight.
That is tight.
Shockers in that. I think that this is still the weird time of the year where nobody knows if they're good or not. And this always happens with the Shockers too.
Oh, yeah.
Because they've been hot to start at the gates the past 2 years, and they were a cover machine last year. And I think that, like, right now they're still, like, Vegas is still trying to be like, I think, I don't know. Are they that good? I don't know. So
6.5 point favorite, by the way.
Yeah. I think that tonight's game, Loyola Chicago also slipped up. They lost to Mercyhurst last week. It's something that Taylor brought up when I was talking to him about it. But it's their best test that they've had so far. It's obviously fun whenever it's a former Valley team coming in, as they're going to UNI this year as well, another former Valley team. But I agree. This is the spot that you're going to learn a lot. I wonder who all will be available, if we'll see some Jarrett Valencia. We haven't seen him out there, and that would be a big piece for the Shockers to get back on the court for a game like this. But I agree. I think if you win this, I mean, you're going to be – you might be top 90 in the KenPom, and that's a good spot to be heading into the week of Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it is. I like him at 4.5. I'm just trying to think about that a minute. I like him at 4.5. Yeah. That's a pretty interesting line.
I feel like the rule of thumb right now with the Shockers team, because we've seen it every game, is that, like, they don't know if they're good or not yet, and they haven't had enough data to skew them one way or another. And so I would just probably just take the Shockers every time you see them, because I think the Shockers are pretty good.
I am with you on the lines early in a year. It's too early to get player props. College, but I'm not very good at betting college basketball. I'll tell you that. I'm not very good at it. So I'm very careful and don't ever bet much more than like $5 just for fun. The thing I think in college basketball that you really can take advantage of later in a year is like player props. Because if you're watching that team play every game, you'll have an idea of the trends happening. Who was the big for Wichita State? I think he played at Alabama, I don't know, 2-3 years
Rojas.
Ago. Rojas was a machine at on his props, because he got really good. It just took a minute. Remy Martin was a machine the year they went to the Natty when he was hurt all that time, because all they would do, they'd just take his scoring average for the season, and that's where they'd put his player prop. And of course, he was scoring 20 points. Like, he was annihilating his scoring. And it took until probably the Final Four for that to get caught up and caught on. And so he was, that's the kind of thing. I don't know what to really look for. I don't even know if there are props right now. And of course, we're talking about something we have fun with. And I know it's a little bit sensitive right now on player props for young athletes and stuff. But yeah, it's a tough game to try and guess lines in college basketball. Four and a half feels pretty good against Loyola, though.
360 teams you got to keep up with. I think that'd be such a fun job, being a college basketball handicapper. Like, that'd probably be the most fun of all of them, because there's just chaos. Like, you have no idea half the time.
Yeah, it would be. If I'm looking at KenPom right now, metrically speaking, Wichita State isn't great at anything just yet. There's not really an identity there for them just yet. So that's kind of interesting, certainly. Like, what is Wichita State? I don't know. And it's the same for Loyola Chicago, but do we even have an idea of what this team is? Like, we have a pretty good idea of what K-State is, right? K-State is a team that is going to live through a high shot volume from PJ Haggerty and try to hit a bunch of threes with the other guys. Like, that's what K-State's identity offensively will be. Don't you think? Like, is there any variation there? Because I feel like that's exactly what they're going to be. I think we lost your audio there, TJ. It's exactly what they're going to be. They're going to run it through and try to get Haggerty to the line. The good news is, like, we know that identity, and they're going to get better at doing it, but that's what they want to do. And I think we got you back, TJ. That's what they want to do. So we'll see them just try to do that thing better. There's not much. I don't think we're going to see much different late in the year than what we're seeing right now for them.
Yeah. No, they haven't shown you any adjustment over the last 3 years. I think that's just what Jerome Tang does. Like, that's right. The offense. That's what we always talk about.
They've just built a roster now to support that. Yes. And that's a good thing.
That's what the issue. That's what the biggest issue was last year for K-State, is that they had Coleman Hawkins, who's a great player. And I still think Coleman Hawkins is a great player.
I agree.
But they just didn't know how to use him with the way that they played offense. And it was
they brought him in and wanted him to do something. This is a guy who's played college basketball forever. And they said, okay, we know what you've done literally every year you've ever played. We want you to do something different.
Yeah. And there just wasn't, like, that's the thing. Like, he was great. There just wasn't, like, a spot for him. Like, he was the best player on the court, but, like,
he just wasn't ever going to be that kind of scorer. He never had.
Yeah, he wasn't going to be a wing that was. And I think that was part of, honestly, that's probably part of why he wanted to come to K-State, because he wanted to be an NBA player, and they would help him. And I think that's just kind of like, he did things well at Illinois, and I think that he came here, and Jerome Tang loves running five out.
He did those same things very well at K-State. That's what was so interesting about his time there. Like, he literally came in and was the same great player he was at Illinois. He just didn't do the things that K-State needed so badly, but that wasn't his fault. That was K-State's fault. We know what K-State wants to do. I don't know what Wichita State wants to do. I mean, do we really think Giles is going to be that Haggerty-type player? Because, boy, I got to tell you, I don't think so. I don't think that's what they want. Now, he may end up being that kind of player because he's looked really good through two games. But I don't think – I mean, he didn't even lead the team in shots against Prairie View. Now, it's Prairie View, and I get it. And that's why I'm so excited for these games now. But I don't think that's what we're going to see from the Shockers.
Yeah.
So identity-wise, these early games, I think we're still learning that. I think, obviously, the coaching staff's still learning that. But I think as fans, what are the Shockers going to be this year? Are they going to be a balanced team that attacks from a variety of ways? What I don't think they're going to be is a great three-point shooting team, which I know is the thing everybody says, well, that's what they've needed forever. That's what everybody wants and needs. I think they are a good
three-point shooting team.
I think they can be a good three-point shooting team. I think they can be a better three-point shooting team, certainly, than they have been in past years. Yeah. But I don't think their offensive identity is going to be firing up a ton of threes in a game. That's what K-State's going to do. K-State's going to live with Haggerty and fire a ton of threes.
They're not going to put up near as many as K-State is. K-State, that's, they love putting up threes. But Wichita State,
there's a realistic world where they could make, you know, double-digit threes a game. I think that that's where they will live. I think, like, against Prairie View, they really didn't shoot a ton of threes against Prairie View, honestly.
They shot 23.
They made 10, and like, it still felt like that was just – I mean, they were good looks. Like, they shot it pretty well, too. And so it's like, I think that that's where they'll live is like in the 10, 11, 12 three-pointers made. Like, and I think that that's a product of Giles. That's a product of Mike Gray. That's a product of,
if they make more than eight threes a game, man, I think it's going to be awesome. Where did, do you recall? I wasn't there and obviously they didn't put out a box score. What did they do with Drake?
They shot a lot of threes. They shot more threes in that game than they have the last two.
Well, we'll see then. Maybe that is something. That's what I mean. Like, I'm ready to learn a little about the identity of this team. I wouldn't have thought the roster was that kind of roster. But if they are, it's college basketball. It's always good when you can shoot a bunch of threes. You got to make them. But I'm totally fine with it. I just want to see it. So we're excited about both of those games. You'll hear them both on the Family and Networks more in the next hour on it. We're coming back another hour of Sports Daily. Welcome back in, everybody. It is another hour of Sports Daily. We're glad to be here with you on this Thursday. Tim Fitzgerald stopping by a little bit later. Jacob Albrock, TJ Cleland here with you today. We've got Thursday Night Football coming up. We've got all kinds of fun stuff happening this time of year that we are trying to dissect and work our way through here and have a little fun with you. Everything brought to you by Wichita Brewing Company. What's on tap now featuring the Cooperstown Pizza, Sriracha cream cheese base topped with chicken, bacon, mushrooms, and mozzarella. The Cooperstown now available in a lunch or full size at Wichita Brewing Company. Pizza and beer made here. You will have Thursday Night Football on the air tonight here on KFH, I think. Well, here's how that'll work, actually, because you'll have K-State basketball pregame coverage beginning at the same time. Thursday Night Football is going to move over to KNSS. Shocker basketball pregame coverage at 6 is on KEYN. So it's a busy sports night across all of the Odyssey family. So get ready for it. Thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up each and every morning here on KFH as we work our way through it. More on K-State in a little bit. We've been talking Shockers. I want to go back for a second, TJ, to this just casually came up. Paul Skeens gets a Cy Young. Tarek Skubal gets a Cy Young. I've seen Tarek Skubal rumored for trades, which seems a little crazy, but Paul Skeens was unanimous. And here is the scenario you're talking about when salary cap things get brought up. Skeens isn't going to be a Pirate forever. A unanimous Cy Young Award winner that's, what is he, 23 years old now?
Mm-hmm.
Great pitcher. They can't put anything around him. Is that a Pirates problem or is that a baseball problem? I think it's a Pirates problem.
I think it's both.
I just like if the Pirates really wanted to make Paul Skeens a Pirate for the next decade, they could do it, but they don't want to do it.
It's going to take it's out of the owner's checkbook at that point. Like
it's not the Royals just locked up Bobby Witt Jr. on a deal like that. And Bobby Witt Jr. is more expensive than Paul Skeens should be. So I don't want to make excuses for these small market teams that refuse to ever spend any money. That's not a baseball problem. That's a them problem.
This is the thing, I think, is the fact that there needs to be a floor. And I think that's what you and I agree on.
I'm 100%. That is the top priority for me.
The floor is more important than the cap. But then in the same breath, once you add the floor, the Pirates would try to go sign Paul Skeens, obviously.
Yes.
They'll get priced out by the Yankees.
No, they won't.
They will.
At some point they won't. Why didn't, you know, because they're not going to wait until he's a free agent to do it. Why aren't the Pirates getting in the business that the Rays have been in for years, that the Royals are in right now? There are a lot of small market teams that go and they lock up their star players before they get even close to free agency and buy out two or three, four extra years of that free agency. Why don't we see the Pirates ever do that? They could, but they won't. They don't ever spend any money.
I think it's also just because of the fact that they understand that they aren't going to win any. I think that they're making their bed that they aren't going to win any games for the next decade. And it's a problem.
And then they shouldn't be owners, right? That's why you need a floor. That's if you're not in this to be competitive, and it certainly doesn't appear that they are, not truly. then what are you in it for? It took new ownership to come in and shake things up for the Royals to finally break out of this idea that, oh man, we just can't ever, oh shucks, we just can't ever keep any good players. Man, we're just not going to work. They didn't want to. They didn't want to pay them. That's not a reality. That's just them wanting to make as much money as they can make. And so, like, if I'm Manfred and I'm trying to have conversations about a salary cap because I'm worried about the Dodgers, that is not the concern that baseball needs to have. How do you lift the sinking ships? How do you motivate the Reds to make sure Ellie De La Cruz is a Red for a decade or more? How do you motivate, you know, who are the bad actors here? The Marlins, right? How do you motivate the Pirates are probably the worst actors in this. The Guardians are really good at how they do it, so it's kind of hard to fault them. And you know, Jose Ramirez is a big contract, but there are teams that consistently do the blow it up, rebuild, draft, blow it up, rebuild, draft. But far too often, it's not a baseball strategy. It's a financial decision only. And as we've learned with the Royals, go find different ownership then. Because all of a sudden, John Sherman's group has come in, and the Royals have been as aggressive as any team in baseball.
I agree. It brings up the argument that Nick Castellanos had that I brought up on the show before, is that he said that if he was the commissioner, the one rule that he'd put in place is like punishments for teams that like don't try to get better. Like the White Sox, who have just been bad for 5 years.
Yeah, they're an interesting example because they spent a ton of money and it didn't work. So yeah. Now they're trying to rebuild.
I guess they're not the best example, but like there should be punishments for teams that just are consistently bad. Like you shouldn't be an owner of a team who has never had a winning record.
Well, Pittsburgh is the poster child for this, right? Yeah. Pittsburgh is your whipping boy, because there are teams that are in a rebuild. Washington, the White Sox, you know, the biggest offenders in all of this forever to me have been the Athletics and the Pirates. And I would imagine this is going to change for the Athletics soon. But the Pirates, right? They don't ever spend. But some of the teams that we see bottom payroll right now, those are teams that just happen to be in a rebuild because it didn't work. That's where I think you'd put Washington. It's where I think you'd put Minnesota. Colorado has spent money over the years. It didn't work. Baltimore has spent money. Arizona has spent money. So I think there are bad actors. And it does, like, it's hard to say you have to spend money, but that's where like a salary floor comes in. And we know right now, it's not a good thing that we all know Pittsburgh will never keep Paul Skeens. That's not a good thing for baseball. Now, Paul Skeens might not want to stay in Pittsburgh, and that's fine. But we all know they're not even going to try. Right, they're not going to try to keep Paul Skeens. It's not going to happen. And so that's a problem. New ownership can buck that trend. I would suspect that's what happens with the Athletics. It's what's happened with the Royals. It's why Royals baseball has been so much more fun the last 2 years, is because they have support now. The front office has support to go get stuff done.
Yeah.
And
I agree. I mean, it's as simple as a mindset, but two things can be true here, because I think that we're vying from the point here, or straying from the point, is that one, the salary cap, salary floor should probably happen, I think. Two, bad owners are still bad owners. And I think that that's true in other sports as well, about, I don't even know who you want to bring up here. We'll say like NBA. The NBA, like the Wizards have been stuck in rebuild purgatory since John Wall was there, basically. And like, there's other examples of that as well, of other teams. But like, it's easier for those teams to dig a way out because of the way that it's set up with, you know, rookies playing immediately, and the salary cap and salary floor there makes it attainable. Like, there was a time where I was when I was a Suns fan, when they were the worst team in the league. And they had the opportunity to sign. They were the only team in the league that could go sign Carmelo Anthony and LeBron James. And like in baseball, like that's not going to happen for the Pirates in the current ecosystem.
Yeah, it's not. And the ecosystems are different too. Like the you know, the money generated. That's what I mean. And it's not a cap. Are you saying it wasn't possible because they were the only two teams that could fit it in the cap?
Yes.
Yeah. It's just not a good, the economics just, the economics are so different between the Dodgers and the Pirates. We can't ignore that fact. It's not the same as in the NFL when you have the Cowboys and the Jaguars. Like the Pirates are not even in the same stratosphere economically as the Dodgers. So that exists. We can't ignore that fact. But the Dodgers doing what they did isn't bad. The Dodgers kicking all the money down the road, that's a problem. You can't let that. That's the rule that needs to change, right? Because they wouldn't have done what they did had they not been able to do it that way. And they beat the game, the system, and good for them. But like, if you're going to look to change something, I just don't know. Like, A, it's so bad for the players to put in a salary cap in baseball that they like you would have an all-time work stoppage. And I don't think that you'd have the owners support it either. So I don't even know why we talk about a salary cap in baseball. It doesn't benefit anybody. It really doesn't.
I don't know. I mean, I think it benefits the fans. I think it benefits the viewers. Like,
I think a floor benefits the fans more. I do. I think teams get competitive and the other thing about baseball is like it's not always equivalent, right? Big spending is not always equivalent to high levels of success. The Mets flamed out famously. Now there is a correlation, right? You look at the top teams and they're generally the teams that are in it, but you can live in that middle ground pretty comfortably.
Yeah.
I think the luxury tax is a good way to try to work around it. But outside of a massive strike, I just don't think it's possible.
I know. There will be a strike if it happens, and that's the hard part of it. I don't know how you could put it in place.
I don't either. But it comes up as we see Skeens, another young star, and if you're a Pirates fan, it's got to just suck so hard to know that he's going
to
be
gone. You have to trade him. Like, you literally have to trade him.
Well, you have to trade him with your current ownership because you know they're not going to lock him up or do anything to surround him with better players. All right, we'll come back. We got more Sports Daily. Tim Fitzgerald later this hour. Don't go away.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Heather is a nurse practitioner from UnitedHealthcare.
We meet patients wherever they live.
During a house call, she found Jack had an issue.
Jack's blood pressure was dangerously high.
It was 217 over 110.
So they got Jack to the hospital and got him the help he needed.
He had had a stent placed in his heart, preventing a massive heart attack.
If it wasn't for my guardian angel, I wouldn't be here.
Hear more stories like Jack's at unitedhealthcare.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan. Area limitation and exclusions apply.
Other sports books just don't hit right. But FanCash makes switching to Fanatics easy. Only Fanatics gives you up to 10% FanCash back on all bets, win or lose, which you can use to unlock the world of Fanatics. From more bets and game tickets to signed memorabilia and one-of-a-kind experiences only Fanatics can offer, switch to Fanatics Sportsbook and let the FanCash roll in. Winning hits different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. MD, visit mdgamblinghelp.org. Offer not available in all states. Terms apply. See Fanatics Sportsbook app.
Dude, you gotta hear this.
Go ahead. I think I wanna hear this.
Sports Daily is on KFH.
Welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Jake Balbrock, TJ Cleland here, getting you ready. Tim Fitzgerald stopping by next segment. Looking forward to that conversation and looking forward to giving you another opportunity to win a prize. If you want to win some HTO, here's another text giveaway for you. You can enter by texting the keyword T to the short code 20357. That'll get you a free cup of iced tea, East Wichita, West Wichita, or Derby, more than 25 flavors to choose from. And you can enter the contest once per day. Message and data rates apply. Good luck, everybody.
Hey, big news, Jacob.
What's that?
Big news for you. The Big 12 injury report came out for K-State and Oklahoma State this weekend. Dylan Edwards not listed on the out list this week.
Yeah. Boy, that's just such a bummer. That's just such a bummer. Here's what I hate about that story more than anything. Because college sports conspiracy theorists online are one of my least favorite things. They had this one right. And it's one of my least favorite things because, like, getting into those weeds makes it not fun for me anymore. Like, it's at that point, it's like, this isn't even fun. So worrying about that kind of stuff makes it not fun. And this is one of those times where it's like, yeah, come on. Like, what are we doing here? What are we doing? So I hate it, but K-State will still probably be fine. You'll be at that game, yeah?
I am.
Enjoy
Stillwater. It's going to be a balmy 80 degrees in Stillwater on Saturday.
Hell yeah. Bring it. You'll love it. You pretend like you wish it was cold.
I'm going to wear shorts and a t-shirt.
Yeah, you'll be great. And you'll love every second of it. And then you'll come in and be like, oh, it's always colder outside. It's not. This is perfect. This is what we need. This is why we wear Hawaiian shirts every Wednesday, to motivate Mother Nature to hang on just a little bit longer. Drake May plays Thursday Night Football tonight. TJ, this is one of my favorite sports talk radio topics. Last year's quarterback class, it's going to be one of those all-timers. It's interesting because as we see Jaden Daniels get hurt again, as we see Caleb Williams really start to come into his own here lately, Bo Nix pile up all the wins, Penix kind of get locked into what he's going to be, and the return of J.J. McCarthy finally, who has looked much better since returning from injury than he did before the injury. What do we think of this class? Who are you taking in the redraft?
I don't know. Probably Drake May now.
Isn't it hard not to? You know, Jaden Daniels, I think, still has all those tantalizing things about him. But the thing about him is now we're starting to see the concern. Like, when he came out, like, I loved his ability too, but I'm like, man, he's going to have a hard time staying on the field. You know, Lamar Jackson has been this unicorn that has learned how to use his ability to run that way and still for the most part be on the field. Right. And I know he got hurt obviously this year too, but over the course of time, to me, that's always been the biggest concern for Jaden Daniels. We're seeing it with Jackson Dart right now.
Jackson Dart has been tested for concussions four times already. Like, you can't play NFL football the way that you were able to play college football. You will get hurt. And so, and to Jaden Daniels' credit, I think he is really trying, and his injury was a freak injury. It's not, it doesn't have anything to do with the way he plays, but he's trying to like Lamar Jackson, like really become this great pocket passer that can run so that he can stay on the field. And I think he's doing a good job actually of it, but he is hurt right now. Drake May's an MVP candidate. Caleb Williams, you're starting to see come into his own. Nobody's taking Bo Nix first overall. Maybe Broncos fans if they're crazy. J.J. McCarthy, way too much to prove. Michael Penix, not up there either. So I think it's between. I think it's those three.
Yeah, I think it's Drake May, Caleb, Jaden, probably right now. And that wasn't what I said a month ago when we talked about this.
But if you didn't have the Jaden Daniels concern of him staying on the field, you're not taking him three, are you?
I probably would. I think I would, based on what I've seen this year. Caleb is better than him this year. Last year, Jaden was better than Caleb. This year, Caleb was way better than Jaden.
Jaden was maybe better than anybody in football. His Drake May's year this year was Jaden Daniels' year last year. Caleb Williams is on the slower. I liked Caleb Williams most. He was my top guy. And I know he went one overall, but he was my favorite because he reminds me of Patrick Mahomes when he's on. And so I think it's tough, man. I don't have I don't even know. Drake May, I can't wait to watch him play tonight. I'll say that. Like when they came out of that class, I didn't have any opinion on Drake May.
Yeah, I'd never watched a second of Drake May play.
Carolina was irrelevant, and I'm sorry, I'm not thumbing around on a Saturday watching North Carolina play Georgia Tech. Like, yeah. I just don't care about ACC football for the most part until the end of the season when it's the postseason. So I never watched him play. And so he was this total unknown to me coming in. And last year, you could see it sometimes. You're like, all right, well, that looks pretty good. And now he's got a case to be the MVP this year.
Yeah, it's hurting. It's hurting all my dynasty fantasy team because I held all these top high picks. And I said, I'm not picking Drake, man. I don't know anything about that guy. Give me Michael Penix. And now look at me.
Michael Penix is going to be probably – okay. And I liked all these guys. I liked Bo Nix the least, but I still liked Bo Nix enough to justify drafting him. I thought probably more in the second round. The Broncos obviously liked him a whole lot, took him where they took him, and they've been justified in that. Michael Penix, I think Michael Penix has staying power. But he's got the longest road ahead of him. I would even say I'm more comfortable with J.J. McCarthy's upside right now than Penix's. And I liked Penix coming out, and I still do, but he's kind of hit a little bit of a wall here. He's got something to overcome. You watch those guys. Who is the top prospect right now? This year,
football?
Yeah,
like of this last class,
the one coming up. No, I mean we know the last class. Seen the last class.
Probably. I mean, Ty Simpson is probably the top quarterback. Jeremiah Love's top running back. Carnell Tate's probably the best receiver, but it probably isn't going to be an offensive player that's going to go first. Or if it is, it's a lineman. I have no idea.
I'm looking at a mock draft right now on CBS Sports.
I bet I know like one of the top 10.
Arvell Reese.
Don't know that.
Ohio State linebacker. Projected number one. Fernando Mendoza of Indiana. Yeah.
That's right.
Projected number two. What in the world? Carnell Tate for Ohio State, number three. What is who's their other receiver? Is he not draft eligible yet?
He's not. No, he's got one more year.
The awesome. Smith. Yeah.
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 Sophomore.
He's a stud, man. He's so good. Yeah, Dante Moore, Oregon's quarterback.
Yeah.
You seen much Dante Moore?
No, but Patrick Mahomes said he's his favorite college quarterback. That's enough for me.
When did he say that?
On game day, when they were doing the picks.
That's interesting.
And somebody made the joke about Dylan Raiola getting pissed about that.
That's pretty funny. Ty Simpson is the other question. So even in this quarterback class where I'm going to be 100% honest with you, I haven't watched any of these guys play. I've watched Ty Simpson, I guess. That's three of the top five. I got no take on any of them. And then you get into, you know, you get into some of the other players that are going to other positions where it's a little more acceptable to not, you know, have a good read on Francis Maigoa, the offensive tackle for Miami. But that's what we're looking at. And if you're a team sitting there, like, what do you do? Obviously, Cam Ward went, so the Titans aren't going to be in the market yet for one of these guys. But let's say you're the Saints, right? And they're up there and they have the chance at the first quarterback. Are you putting the future of your team in the hands of Fernando Mendoza?
Why do they need to draft a quarterback? They got Tyler Shuck, baby.
That's what I'm asking. I think Spencer Rattler's better than Tyler Shuck. How about that? Is odd.
I agree. I don't know. Mendoza's interesting because, like, he doesn't scream pro prospect to me, but
he looks the part. 6'5", 225.
He's big. I don't know. It's not a good class.
But neither was last year's. Were you sold on Cam Ward? I was trying to make the case that Shadur was the best quarterback in the class.
Yeah, last year was pretty bad too.
And I'm not even sure that that's the incorrect take. Jackson Dart looks like the real deal, but Jackson Dart feels. Ooh boy, we're having hot takes here because we don't have our betting set. Here's a hot take for you. Jackson Dart feels a little Manziel-y to me. He feels like he's going to be all or nothing all the time. Like just a wild, insane, highly entertaining, awesome at times that makes your jaw drop, but a little erratic. Not Manziel in the sense of like off the field stuff, obviously, but just like where you could get boom or bust every time out. That's kind of what he feels like for me right now.
Yeah.
He better figure out how to stay on the field.
Yeah, he's pretty crazy out there. And that's a good thing, but it's a bad thing. So
well, it's a good thing, but the reality is it just doesn't work in the NFL. I have seen clips of him. Who put it out? Maybe it was one of the Chiefs guys. It was this week, and there was a play where if you had blinders on to like, you, it was Patrick Mahomes. Like it was a play. It looked so vintage Patrick Mahomes. And I was just like, whoa, it was a throw. It was like a rollout to the right on the run, throw dime into a, you know, into a mosquito's butthole on the sideline, just like perfect throw. And I'm like, oh, what was that? And so there's that part of his game too. And you're like, man, that dude has some skills. He is. And then he, you know, takes on a linebacker.
Then he puts his head down.
First. Yeah.
Oklahoma drill at the 50.
That there is a long history in this league and history is not on your side. That will never work in the NFL. It doesn't work for running backs. It's not going to work for a quarterback. Yeah. And then there's Cam Ward. What is Cam Ward?
I don't know.
Is he going to be anything?
He's on such a bad team, though. Like, I want to give him credit, but like the Titans are just terrible.
He's
like
a bad team. They've already changed coaches, so you're going to have a second year quarterback with their second coach, and they're probably not going to get very good. Cam Ward's going to be he'll be one of those. He might be good someday, but it won't be with the Titans, right? Yeah. The Baker Mayfield story, the Sam Darnold story, like the guys that come into the league. They get drafted by really bad teams. They have coaching changes every year. They play with all the different coordinators. They're given no chance to succeed. And then they end up somewhere with some stability. And all of a sudden you're like, oh yeah, that's why they were drafted number one overall. They're pretty
good. It's good. Yeah. It's good for him that the current course of the NFL allows for that to happen. That wasn't the case like 5 years ago, honestly. Like I think that Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold have shown that like, hey, like, Let's kick the can on him a little bit. And I think that.
Well, I think it shows. I think it shows environment means everything to the young player.
Yeah, and I think that's good that you know teams are learning that as well, and not like the fact that like Sam Darnold was never going to be a starter again if JJ McCarthy could play, and that's the thing. Like,
well, Sam Darnold was interesting because we would see flashes every year with different teams. You'd be like, whoa, that was really impressive. And then he gets with KOC. Everything gets straightened out. Environment's good. Weapons are good. Like, everything's there. And it's like, oh my goodness, that's right. He can play football and he's pretty good at it. Baker Mayfield bounces around, gets a rawest deal you can get in Cleveland. That kind of shows you flashes of like, oh yeah, I really like Baker Mayfield. Ends up stability, good weapons around him, good offensive line. And all of a sudden, oh yeah, this is why I think if you're looking at like the future now, it looks a whole lot brighter for Caleb Williams, because you've got to envision there's going to at least be stability there with Ben Johnson for the next 2 or 3 years. It's why you like, I think, Jaden Daniels, because he's got Kingsbury there with him for now, another year. Like, he's going to have that opportunity. I don't think they're going to do anything with Dan Quinn, who's been in a Super Bowl, plus Cliff Kingsbury. And then you look at Drake May with a guy I think is as good a coach as there is in this league in Mike Vrabel. And oh, by the way, they brought back Josh McDaniels to coach him up the same way he worked with Tom Brady. Yep. Like, those three guys are in such good environments, and so is J.J. McCarthy. They're in such good environments that that feels like it makes their upside tremendously higher. And then Bo Nix is playing for Sean Payton. And I get it. People are mixed a little bit on what they think of Sean Payton. Sean Payton was a product of Drew Brees and all this stuff. Sean Payton's got the Broncos at 8-2. I mean, say what you want. And I'm not the biggest Payton guy, but goodness gracious. Like, he's turned that franchise around all of a sudden. They were in the dumps. You remember when they had Russell Wilson, everybody? Now look at them. They're 8-2. So all that class, not only is that class look like they have all this talent, all those guys are in pretty stable environments to succeed. And now you look at a guy like Cam Ward, Jackson Dart. They're about to put Jackson Dart immediately with another coach and another, you know, coordinator, and who knows who it's going to be. Like, he's going to have to deal with that. It's going to keep happening. I don't know who's the next one. The Saints, I guess Kellen Moore. But how long, if the Saints suck again next year, how hot is Kellen Moore's seat going to be?
I know. That's the argument as well, is that, you know, whenever you draft a quarterback first overall, your coach is going to get fired that year.
It's got to be the owner's impetus, doesn't it? To come in and say, here's the deal. Like, we've got to be realistic with our organization's future. If we're not willing to draft a quarterback at the top end of the first round, and have that coach be his coach for at least 2 seasons, then we need to change coaches now.
Yeah.
You can't, if you've got a coach on the hot seat, you don't go draft a quarterback high. You either make the change at coach or you commit to the coach.
But the because thing is, nothing, the inverse of that argument, though, is that coaches get fired because the quarterbacks aren't good most of the time.
Of course they do. But you will not find success in this league without a good quarterback, not long term. Yeah.
They're so hand in hand of quarterbacks and coaches, but quarterbacks, I mean, they determine everything. And that as we've seen, good teams with bad quarterbacks are terrible, and bad teams with good quarterbacks are playoff contenders. Right. And I think that goes hand in hand, as you said, with the fit that the quarterbacks are in, because Sam Darnold in a vacuum, pretty good. Sam Darnold on the Jets.
My point is, the Giants had no business. The Titans had no business drafting early quarterbacks if they had any inclination that they might make a change at head coach. If they did, and you love that player, you make the change at head coach before, because you can't have them come in and then just start changing coaches. Sam Bradford, famously, how many different coaches and coordinators? What was it? He spent the first, I don't remember what it was, 7 or 8 years in the NFL with a different offensive coordinator every year to start. Like, you can, that is a recipe for disaster. Patrick Mahomes comes in and he's had the same coordinator his entire career.
Yeah. Well, that's not true, but
it is too. Andy Reid is the offensive coordinator. I don't care who they put on the title.
But in the same breath, like, if Jackson Dart would have started week 1, I think Dable would have still had a job.
If he could have stayed on the field, maybe.
Maybe. I don't know.
It is fascinating. Boy, this club. We're going to get to see one of them tonight. Drake May, Max's Patriots, take center stage. Max, I need a big game out of the young fella. I need him to be big. 12.5-point favorites, I would touch that with a 10-foot pole.
And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
And we are glad to be with the publisher of GoPowerCat.com, Tim Fitzgerald, our K-State Insider. Fitz, how are you this morning?
I'm wonderful. How are you boys?
Well, I'm good in general. I'm cranky when we start to think about K-State football. Fitz, I hate college football conspiracy theories. They bother me. Like, it makes it not fun. And I don't know if it was a conspiracy theory, but Dylan Edwards back in the portal never really played. That old chat, like, it all came true. And it stinks, and I don't like it.
Yeah, that's the new world of college football. I mean, it just is. It's become such big business for everyone, and there's so many things swirling around these young people, including lots of money. And I think it's not good for individuals or the sport.
Fitz, it's an interesting situation. The thing that keeps bringing me back into this here is that, you know, Dylan Edwards, it seemed that there was writing that, you know, he may not play again this year because of the injury written on the walls, because of the redshirt rules and everything of that nature. But I didn't really think that there was a clear tell that he was going to transfer and do what he did in that light. You know, there was always a thought of it, but it wasn't really like written on the wall or anything like that. Does that raise, you know, warning flags that more could be on the way after the season? There's still weeks to play, but that was where my mind immediately went to.
Well, I don't think Dylan Edwards is an indication of that particularly. I think it's just a young man who is trying to figure out his way in life, and things didn't work out. I think Dylan Edwards is his own worst enemy. And this just was an unfortunate way it played out, but I hope he finds more success at his third school, and I hope he can stay healthy. But I do think there'll probably be some transfer portal moves this offseason by some of the roster, and I'm getting ready to write a kind of in-depth story or analysis on what's going on with K-State football, and it's getting to the point now where the disparity in NIL is so much. You're not trying to protect your top kids who you know you can pay, that you know the value of. It's kind of the next level that, you know, are really good players, but you can't afford to pay them a lot at, you know, in a Big 12 school outside of Texas Tech. And major schools in the Big 10 and SEC can afford to throw money at them that you just simply can't match to build up their depth, and they might be your starters. I think there's going to be a lot of that going on across college football. The haves and have-nots are going to really separate this offseason.
But do you not think that a salary cap is going to help, like, prevent that in a lot of ways?
Well, there really isn't one. I mean, the courts have ruled that you can't have the rev share be the cap. You can't cap their earnings without, you know, collective bargaining, and we didn't have that. Basically, the courts keep ruling, well, there's no representation for the players in any of this, so you can't be passing rules that impact them. And there's a lot of truth to that. And I think college athletics just has to come to the reality that they're going to have an organization with which to bargain to do this legally if Congress won't intervene. And I we're going to still see schools using, you know, tens of millions, you know, the salary cap, the revenue share is what, $21.5 million. Yeah, we're going to see football programs alone double that in the next year. And everyone's just kind of ignoring that. And the schools that are trying to use it as a salary cap and pretend that everyone's playing under the same rules are going to get buried and left behind just like they have been in the past.
Well, season's not over, Fitz. We got a good one on Saturday, if that's what you want to call it. Cats are favored by 20 points down in Stillwater, taking on the Oklahoma State Cowboys. Something that they should take care of handily, but as history tells you, Cats have some trouble in Stillwater for some reason.
Yeah, they do. And this team has proven that it can sleepwalk into a game and lose to someone you shouldn't lose to. So yeah, there's a few alarm bells with this, but I just want to say I admire what the Oklahoma State players are doing. What a horrible situation. And if you watch them play, they're not very good, but they're trying. They're playing hard. They haven't given up. And if you give life to a team like that, they start hitting some trick plays. They've had a whole off week to kind of load up and prepare for you, knowing that you have dominated Kansas State at home. Yeah, this could get interesting, but, you know, the disparity in talent here between the rest of the Big 12 and Oklahoma State is really noticeable.
It's no good. Is K-State going to get to a bowl? Tim Fitzgerald makes the call here on Sports Daily right now, officially, to get to a win.
Yes. I mean, between Oklahoma State and Colorado, if you don't win those two to get bowl qualified, you probably should be nowhere near a bowl, including a toilet.
What's it going to look like on Saturday, Fitz? I mean, the with all the pieces gone, it's not just Dylan Edwards. You know, Austin Romaine was shut down for the rest of the year. Kobe Osunsami's been out. You know, is this going to look like the preview for next year? Like, what do you do at this point?
It's really interesting. You're talking about two guys there that, you know, were expected to be kind of the stars at their positions.
Yeah.
And now we're both out. It's kind of noticeable that Kansas State has struggled in some areas on defense, and now you've taken two big pieces off. We'll see how they play without them. But I thought it was notable that they shut down Austin Romaine following the Texas Tech loss, because it kind of mathematically eliminated them from the Big 12 championship game, and then they decided to shut him down. So they're kind of just playing the string out and trying to get the most they can out of the season, which would be the extra practices from bowl time. And that becomes very interesting because of the transfer portal and everything else going on in college football.
Fitz, let's talk hoops. We get it tonight. We were talking a lot about K-State. It's off to a good start, and the competition level goes way up, which we're excited about. What is, like, I feel like this is unique because we know what K-State is and what they want to be. It's what they've been, though, so far. It's just kind of they got to get better at it. There's a lot of teams around the country we're trying to still learn the identity of.
Yeah.
Don't you feel like we kind of know the identity of this team?
Yeah, that's a great point. It really is. Until they can alter their identity to a team that knows how to play defense, they're going to be incredibly fun to watch. Frustrating on the other end, where they're kind of just letting out the other team score so they can get the ball back. This team has an upside that is really high, because if they can learn to defend and rebound and cut down turnovers at a much better rate, they're going to be really tough to beat, because they can just flat out score. This is, I keep saying this phrase, that this team just kind of scores casually. You know, let's go down here. Let's rip it pass. Okay, we scored. You know, it's like it's easy to them. They've got so many weapons, but boy, their defense is awful. And this will kind of be their first test of how that defense can hold up against a more talented team.
Yeah, if it's Cal coming in, their leading scorer is Day-Day Ames, former Kansas State Wildcat. What do you think that's going to look like? He's turned into a heck of a player. I'm not sure if you've seen any of the stats or anything like that.
Well, I thought he would be. I think it was a mistake when he left. It's my understanding he didn't really want to leave. Kind of got caught up in the people around him, you know, seeking more NIL money, and the Virginia thing turned into a disaster. Great kid. Very good player. I'm glad to see he's developed, because sometimes, you know, when you bounce around, you can hurt your development. You're just learning. You never get on track with anything. But I think you'll be warmly greeted. I don't think anyone has any animosity towards Day-Day, but we'll see. This is going to be a fun early season game, because quite often K-State has been loading up on the really easy games early on and honestly not making them very easy. They've been pretty workmanlike so far, so this will be a good test.
Fitz, when you see the Big 12 so far, we've seen KU, you know, lose to North Carolina, and I think maybe being overreacted to a little bit. But Darren Peterson sat the next game, which I suppose is cause for concern. But, man, when I look at the top 25, and Houston catapulted to number one, K-State is getting some votes. But what did we count, TJ? Nine getting votes or higher Big 12 teams. Is it too early to sort of reset or set in the first place expectations for where K-State can fit into that mix?
Now, you know, this conference is so good. K-State, you know, came out in the poll kind of in the middle of the conference, and guys, the middle of the conference are NCAA tournament teams. If you take care of your business in the non-con, it's kind of the same thing that the SEC enjoys in football. You just get to play in really good teams, and your strength of schedule skyrockets, even if you're losing. You got to win to a degree, but you've got more flexibility there. And I think K-State fits in pretty well. I think they'll be competitive in the upper half of this conference if they can learn to play defense, because they're just going to run into teams that will play defense and then thus outscore them.
I was going to say, Fitz, what's that going to look like tonight? Are they going to have to score 100 to get it done?
Yeah, you know, that's going to kind of be the MO of this team. You probably want to get it into the triple digits to make sure you're winning, because they can give up points. You know, the three of us could probably go for – one of us could go for 20. They just watch you score so they can get the ball back. We'll see. I think the message of defense is getting to them, and we'll see if we see an improvement against a better team.
It'll be fun. It'll be Cal, and this will have all the bells and whistles that we could hope for. 8 o'clock, they're kind of by themselves in that window tonight to top, you know, well, Cal's 80, K-State's up in the 50s. Mm-hmm. I think this will be a good test. Can they stop them? Don't forget,
the last time that Cal and K-State played, that was the Jerome Yang incident on the ACC network.
God, one of the great moments in television.
I miss Jerome Yang. He was a good man.
That was year one, wasn't it?
That was his fourth game ever.
That was kind of the beginning of things for Jerome. A Jerome Yang appearance might be just what this team needs. To be perfectly honest. Fitz, what do you guys have going for us at GoPowerCat.com?
It's coverage of what's coming up. We're going to have I don't want to say expose, but kind of a dive into the future of Kansas State football for subscribers behind our paywall and looking at the problems facing programs like Kansas State right now and where the program's at as a totality. It's not going to be a great picture for people to, you know, understand that this might be a little bit worse than people think it is.
Well, okay. In that spirit, on the way out, we have about 30 seconds here. Tim Fitzgerald, make the call on November 13th. Who's the starting quarterback for K-State next year?
I'm still going to go with Avery, but I've said publicly that if he thinks he needs to do what Will Howard did to advance his career, I'm supportive of him. I mean, he's got some talent, and if he's not getting where he wants to be at Kansas State, go find yourself. Go live your career. It's a different kind of transfer to me when a guy who's been successful realizes he needs the next step.
Okay. Boy, that's not something that I have any interest in talking about, but we'll figure it out there. Fitz, we appreciate it.
Thanks, boys.
That'll do it for us here on Sports Daily. Thursday Night Football, college basketball. We have a jam-packed night. Just a reminder, all three Thursday Night Football moves to KNSS tonight, 7 o'clock coverage, because you have K-State basketball here on KFH. Pre-game coverage begins at 7. Shockers basketball is always over on KEYN. That coverage begins at 6 o'clock. DJ will have you covered from the Shocker game tonight on KWCH after the game, before the game. Here we go. Big night of college basketball. It's a good sports night. I'm ready for it.
It is. I'm glad that they're not playing at the same time as each other, so I can actually watch a little bit of K-State. I've missed every game because they play the same day as the Shockers.
This will be my first chance to lock into both of them, and I can't wait for it. All right. We will have it all recapped for you tomorrow. We're also going to make some picks for the weekend and get you ready for week 3 of the high school football playoffs. It's coming on a Friday. Tim Fitzgerald, we say thank you. For Max, for TJ, I'm Jacob. See you tomorrow.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
United Healthcare nurse Crystal checked in on a patient.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell in her voice that she was struggling.
Crystal knew she needed help.
And I knew that this is very serious. This is like septic. This is life-threatening.
And she knew just what to do.
And I called the hospital and said, she's coming in. Here are her labs.
And got her the help she needed.
I see my role at United Healthcare as a life-saving role.
Hear more stories like Crystal's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
This is Odyssey's Injury Report, powered by Fanatics. Let's look ahead to this week's notable football injuries.
Green Bay's rookie wideout is dealing with a lingering shoulder injury and is considered day-to-day. Meanwhile, Philadelphia's Saquon Barkley is expected to be available for the team's game on Monday night after suffering a groin injury last week.
That's today's report. Listen all season long for weekly injury updates, presented by Fanatics Sportsbook, the home of fair play. Download the app today.
On most sports books, an injury ruins your whole football parlay, but not on Fanatics. They have Fair Play insurance, which protects your football player prop bets from injury for the entire first half, every single game, all season long. So even if a player goes down early, you still won't take the L. Why risk it if you don't have to? Keep your bets intact and switch to Fanatics Sportsbook. Winning hits different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Offer not available in all states. Terms apply. See Fanatics Sportsbook app.